Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today the celebration was for the Saint John of Kronstadt and Father of Kronstadt, and also of Saint Ignatius, the God bearer, the holy martyr. We start off with a little bit about the holy martyr bishop. Archbishop Ignatii, Bogonosis, God-bearing father. He was called that way because, as you heard in today's gospel, that he was picked up by the Lord and used as an example for when the disciples decided that, let's see, who is the oldest or who is the youngest out of them. And he took the child and placed him in front of them and said, unless you are like children, you're not going to be able to really enter into the kingdom of heaven, as he said another part. But here he showed that those who want to be the elders or the oldest one, big ones, they should become servants. And in the other place he said, those who are first shall be last, those who are last will be first. Everything is changed in the Lord's teachings. We don't act and should not act as people in the world are acting. The people in the world are striving and looking to be rulers and to be leading and to be looked up to. And our church doesn't teach us this way. We have to learn the humility. We have to learn to consider ourselves as being actually the worst, and everybody is better than we are. Then we go into the Saint John of Kronstadt. Yeah, well, of course, Saint Ignatius, the God-bearing father, when he found out that he was sentenced for execution to be eaten alive by the lions, he was overjoyed. And then when they didn't want to do it in this place where he had his see, the ruler said, we'll send him to Rome, where people don't know him there, and then there won't be any uprising, because they loved the bishop. And so, but the saint, when he found out about that, he had written a long, long epistle to the people in Rome, begging them not to do anything to stop the execution, because he wanted, as he said, I wanted to become food and be grind down by the teeth of the lions, down to the bones, and so that I'll be like wheat for the Lord as a sacrifice. And he did go to Rome, and he gave himself to the lions. The first king walked up to him, and they didn't want to touch him, but he provoked them, and he said to them to come and eat him, and then they ate him. And Saint John, he was a great miracle maker. He brought in so many Christians. So many pagans he turned into Christianity. Well, then we go to Saint John of Kronstadt. Saint John of Kronstadt was a child and that was sent to school, but the learning just didn't go to him. He couldn't figure things out. He was the last pupil, and he was so saddened because his parents had to pay money to put him through school, and he was so saddened that they're spending the money for nothing because he can't learn. And so what he did is one night he went down on the ground and on the knees and on the ground and begged the Lord to please open up his mind so that he can understand what is being taught. He was made fun of by other pupils because he was so dumb that he couldn't figure things out. And he had a fervent prayer, and after he had gotten his first miracle, and he went to sleep, he fell asleep, and then in the morning he felt like something just came away from him, some kind of a shadow or something that was keeping him from figuring things out. He's become from the worst student, he's become the best student in the school. And then as he was growing up, he had so much love for the Lord. He wanted to bring the pagans to Christianity. He decided to go to the Far East, to bring him to Christianity. But yet he had a vision or a dream once that he was made a priest and he was serving in the cathedral of Saint Apostle, first called Apostle Andrei in Kronstadt, and this was to him a message that this is what he had to serve. And he finished the seminary with the flying colors, and then he went to the academy and he finished that, and then he was told that he's going to become a priest, he has to get married, and so either that or become a monk. And so decided at that time the monks were sitting in the monasteries, but the priests that were supposed to be in the parishes, they had to be married. And so he found himself a bride. He married her, but then he said, we are not going to have the usual relationship as a husband and wife. We're going to live as brother and sister. There's so many people in the world that have the happiness of the marriage and so on. But let's, you and me, serve the God, our God, and we will live in chastity. And of course, his wife Elizabeth wasn't so happy about that. And in fact, for several years, she was quite miserable over it. And especially when he would come home, and he would come home and he would have no money. At that time, the diocese would pay the salary for the priest, and he would get the salary. And but as he's coming with the salary home, on the road, he would give away to the last penny to the poor people that already knew that he was going to give them, that they were always swarming around him. And when he would come home, he would have nothing to give to his wife. And so and then he even went to study to teach the law of God so that he could make some money to send it to his parents. And of course, the wife went to the bishop and begged the bishop not to give him any more salary, but to give to her his salary so that she could support the household. And of course, he made a beautiful place of workhouse where he would get everybody that wanted to, that needed help, to be able to come into that workhouse and work with their hands so that they can eat. For the St. Paul says, those who do not work do not eat. And he wanted to help them so that even though they were, as they would be called today, bums and so on, but he would bring them into that workhouse and give them some little menial jobs that they could do so that they could get the meals and the lodgings and all the things that they needed by working for it. He was able to do so many miracles. He was able to heal so many sick people, and through Holy Communion, through the laying of the hands, that he become at first the priest. Maybe they found some jealousy. They thought he was kind of weird, and he wasn't like everybody else. And to the first years, they didn't quite accept on his clergy, other clergy, but the people started to accept him. And finally, he has been accepted by the whole Russia, and all over, not only Russia, but from the world. They started to send him telegrams asking for prayers and begging them for curing, and he was doing that. He was healing people all over the world, not only Orthodox Christian, but non-Orthodox either. And of course, most of them that got cured by Saint John, who had become turned Orthodox, So he was very much like Saint Ignatius, the God-bearing bishop. My beloved, one day the bishop calls him up and he told that his wife has complained to the bishop that he's not living with him lawfully as a husband with his wife, and asked the bishop to please order Saint John to live as a regular husband and wife. And so the bishop tells him, orders him to do so, but Saint John says, well, I gave a vow of chastity, and I don't want to break that vow of being a virgin. And the bishop ordered him that he has to do it and released him. He left the room, and the bishop got blind. And as the bishop got blind, he realized that he should not be forcing St. John of Kronstadt into a life like that of a married person. And he calls him back and asks for the prayers, and St. John says a little prayer, and he is able to see again the bishop, and he let him go. And so St. John kept his virginity, and he was helping everybody. He was going to the most places where the poor drunkards were, or where the poor families were living, and he would go there after the service. His schedule was at 4 o'clock he would be at the matins, and he would always personally read the canon out of the matins. And then he would have liturgy every day. And then after the liturgy, then he would have multitude of confessions. And finally, it came to a point that the church allowed him to have what they call a confession, not an individual, but a mass confession. He would have raise his petrechil, or stove over the people, say the prayer before going to confession, and then he would tell out loud, now confess your sins. And everybody in the church, thousands of the people, they would be confessing, and some of them would confessing it even out loud for the neighbors to hear what they're saying. And then he would raise up the petrechil and would say the prayer of absolution over the whole church. And then when they would come to the Holy Communion, some of them he would not allow to receive. He says, no, you have not repented sincerely, or you have not repented. You concealed some sins. And it, because he was clairvoyant, he knew as the person would be approaching whether he should be giving him communion or not, or whether she should get a penance. And this is the way St. John of Kronstadt, but he had kept a diary that is a spiritual gold mine, it could be said today. And in that book, My Life in Christ, he had published his thoughts that he would get sometimes even during prayer, and all kind of the thoughts that I strongly urge everyone to get a hold of that book, or read or listen to that book, which is on the SVROIC internet in English and in Russian, and to every day to at least read one page of St. John of Kronstadt's book, My Life in Christ. It'll be a guide. He is an excellent spiritual father, and he can keep you on the line to the kingdom of heaven. He knows how to get to to your heart. He knows how to teach you to really to pray. He'll show you how to live in such a way as to be able to make it in the kingdom of heaven, because he is filled with love for everyone, as he had, of course, picked it up from the Lord. The Lord doesn't want anybody to be damned. He wants everybody to be saved, come to the knowledge of truth, and be saved. But so does St. John of Kronstadt. He wanted everybody to be saved, and he would do everything possible in his power to try to bring the truth to the people. And the truth is Christ, and everything is the power, and everything is given to us through Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the creator of the whole universe, and who sustains our lives and gives us the strength to keep on. St. John of Kronstadt teaches us humility in his book, and he teaches us the way to live according to the gospel. And we absolutely, I urge you to remember also the words of St. John Chrysostom, who said, those who do not study this scripture cannot be saved. Well, this is St. John's writing is part of the scripture. Of course, you have to read the gospel, the epistles, and the Bible, and then I would absolutely strongly recommend after the gospel and the epistles is to read My Life in Christ, and He will surely guide us into the kingdom of heaven, because He had given His life to the Lord totally. He disregarded all the temporary things. You know, when He was standing in the church with the cross, and people would hand Him envelopes filled with money, so that for His work house or for other needs, and it was so often that He would get a package of money from somebody without, of course, opening or nothing. Then somebody else would come up and He would give them that package, and it would be exchanging that, because He saw very clearly who was in need and who had to be helped. And the Lord probably revealed to Him what amount was there. And it was exactly as the witnesses say, it was so many times exactly the same amount as they needed to be helped out of their material troubles. He was filled with love for everybody, and the people started to love Him, and of course, eventually in the clergy and the Tsarist family, and everybody started to love Him. But He straight away went away from fame. He didn't want any fame on this earth. And yet He knew that as being a priest, He had to accept that He had to live in such a way as not to scandalize anybody. And one day He even got martyred, in a sense, as He was standing with a chalice, and one of the revolutionists, one of those people, is shortly before the Lord had taken away, I think 2 or 3 years before that, he came up to the iconostas and walked up and took a cigarette out and lit the cigarette, started to light the cigarette from the icon of Ampada, from icon of the Lord, while St. John was standing there with Holy Communion. And St. John immediately turned to him and said, how can you do that, and dropped this and reprimanded him. And as he reprimanded him, that student just turned around and gave St. John of Kronstadt such a hit in the ear, a slap in the face with a hit of his ear, that St. John of Kronstadt became deaf on that ear already for the rest of his life that he was left. And of course the Holy Communion was spilled then from the chalice, from such a, and the people, they were out, they got all mad at that young student revolutionist, and they went after him, and they were going to be tearing him all apart for such a deed. But St. John of Kronstadt stopped it. He stopped the people from hurting him, and they had him arrested. And but St. John of Kronstadt then went on his knees, and he was picking up from the floor the Holy Communion, and there was a great sorrow. There was he deserves truly to be called also a martyr for such an incident, what happened to him. And my beloved St. John of Kronstadt is always continues to pray. He prayed for everybody, and he continues to pray now for the whole world, for the Lord to not allow the Antichrist spirit, the materialism and the spirit of pride to take over the people, that the Lord will be able to continue to pick up the souls for the kingdom of heaven, to replace the fallen angels. My beloved, let's pray more to St. John of the Cross. Let's all accept him as our spiritual guide, as our spiritual father, for he surely will bring us right into the kingdom of heaven if we accept that. And you know, you can use that book, My Life in Christ, as a barometer for yourself, whether you stray, whether you're staying on the narrow, thorny way to the kingdom of heaven and living according to the gospel, or whether you strayed away on the already a wide road. And St. John, reading the book My Life in Christ, if those words of his are going to touch your heart and you feel with him compassion and agreeance totally with him, then you know you're on the right track. You're still on the right track. But if you, those words of St. John of the Cross that will hit you wrong, and you don't feel like your heart is willing to accept that, then you can know for sure that you strayed away from the true path to the salvation. So again, let's try to use more My Life in Christ, the writings of St. John of Kronstadt, to help us, to guide us into the true, into the hands of our loving God, the loving God who had sent his only begotten Son down to this earth, and where it's before the fast, before the feast day of the Nativity of the Lord, and he is about to be brought to Bethlehem to be born, and he did all that to save me, to save you. And this is what you got to believe, and that you have to have developed the love for the Lord, especially after he had went through the life the way he did, and in poverty in the beginning, then being chased away to another country because the Herod wanted to kill him, and then finally being crucified, the worst at that time, most dishonorable death, the punishment for criminals that were done at that time. And he did all that for us because he loves us so much, because he doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to make it to the kingdom of heaven. This St. John of Kronstadt will help you and me to understand that more and to love him more. And once we love the Lord, absolutely, you will remember the words of St. John, the theologian, or he is called the apostle of love, who says that if you don't love your neighbor, you are a liar when you say that you love God. You cannot love God and not love your neighbor. So, but not only your neighbor, you have to learn to love your enemies. That's the Lord had said that. We have to love our enemies also. And we have to bless those who curse us. We have to do good to those who do us harm. These things we have to do according to the teachings of our beloved Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has taught us in everything that his Father taught us, our Father also, because he told us to call him our Father who art in heaven, and the Holy Spirit who sustains and gives us the strength to bear the cross that the Lord may send us for our salvation. Amen. God bless you.